The goal of this podcast is to enable a better understanding of music as a fundamental part of Latvian culture. Vienna Balsi means in one voice for each guest, musicians, composers, performers, and one voice when people sing together and unite under one cultural identity. We are grateful to the American Latvian Association Culture Funds for their help. Don't forget to subscribe so you will never miss a single episode. And now, enjoy listening. Laipni lūgts programa Vienna Balsi. Today we are very glad to receive Evija Skute. Hello, thanks to be here. As a composer, I'm curious to know more about the process that led you to become a composer. Who were the people who were encouraging you during this? I think you started to write music very early. I'm curious to know if you had some masters, I would say, what kind of education you had.
Yes, I began my musical journey quite early, and I have my father's mother to thank. She used to be an opera singer, Anna Šņukute, a dramatic mezzo-soprano, very, very well-known for her voice in her time. And she insisted that I had to go to a musical school. I was never even given a choice. So yes, and even before then, my mother noticed that I had interest in sounds and noises and creation and stuff like that. So yes, all that I remember about the very beginning of my music, pop musical path, is that I have been trying to create something in regards of music ever since I knew how to notate it. So I began studying composition in fourth grade. I was approximately 10 years old, and I studied with Pauls Dambis, who was a teacher in a Riga Dom Choir School. I studied there for 9 years, so I studied composition for 6 years. And then I moved to another school, which was next door, Emils Darzinš Music High School, and now the both schools have come together as one school again. And there I studied for 3 years with Pēteris Vasks.
Okay.
Yeah. Then
an interesting teacher indeed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, so that is my beginning.
Never were tempted by for example playing an instrument and being a performer during this process, or maybe you are playing a specific instrument?
Yes, this is a thing often asked composers. Yeah. And the first 9 years that I studied music, I was in a choir school. So that is my main instrument. Okay. I sing, and I am absolutely terrible at playing piano and any other instrument that I can get my hands on, which I do absolutely enjoy. But professionally performing on the stage, no, maybe only within a choir or as a singer in an ensemble, maybe, but otherwise definitely not my place. No.
I'm not surprised that you mentioned choir, because well, there is a culture in Latvia indeed, but sometimes I was wondering if you were not one of a singer of your own compositions.
Several times, if I include the choir, because I sang 9 years in choir Kamar, and yesterday they actually had their concert, which I went to, and they sang my piece, which I wrote when I entered Kamar, well, not the first two, not the first 2 years, but it was the first year that I studied in the academy with Sally Gomez, and I wrote a choir piece, and they loved it, and they still love it, and yes, but otherwise, yes, so yes, I have sung in that choir my pieces, but otherwise, only when I was in high school, and for the exam, and for a competition, when I just had to have any kind of performers, and I could sing the part, so I did.
Who were the composers or artists who influenced you? So there is indeed composers, but I feel also that there are a lot of different sources and cultural background that are involved in your inspiration. Like there is a piece that is inspired originally by the Silmarillion of Tolkien. There are references to psychology in a recent piece that is called Neurosis. So it seems to be a wide range of cultural background who influenced you.
Yes, I do. I do have a very wide range of interests, mm-hmm. and sometimes I love that if I could, I'd learn in everything. If I could, I shouldn't though. That would be a bit too much. But yes, here I have to also say that I started composing before I knew contemporary music. Mm-hmm. So I think that plays quite a big role there. And there I have influences from children's choir music, for example, because I sang in Riga Dom Choir, school girls' choir, when I went to that school. There are influences from folk music, all sorts of folk music, because I love it so much. I have never come across a kind of folk music that is like purely folk music that I do not enjoy. And it fascinates me. It fascinates me truly. There's that kind of influence. Then musically looking, there's definitely heavy metal, all sorts of genres of heavy metal. I began listening to heavy music when I was 13 and never stopped. So I started with epic metal, which is for my ears quite silly. I have grown out of it, but thrash metal, for example, the wonderful band Slayer has influenced me quite a lot. And in the second bachelor's year, I wrote a string quartet named Trance, where I analyzed the guitar solos of Slayer's music and wrote my own version of it.
Okay, and these references are very welcome here, so I'm curious to know more about the kind of metal band you could be listening to.
I could talk a lot about this.
You could? Okay. Yes.
Metal is such a huge field. Mm-hmm. There's so much different kinds of music, and so Slayer is one of my main loves. Then there's definitely Tool, and the way they play with rhythms, and also the way they play with the lyrics, that has also made me think that comes more lately. Then Rammstein, definitely. I have worked with their music as well. When I went to the choir school, and a tiny bit after, there was this not an event, I would say a movement cultivated by Riga Dom Choir School's German language teacher Gunnar Grimst. She was like the number one fan of Rammstein, which is excellent because she taught us German through Rammstein music. Perfect. and she wanted to make Rammstein's music more acoustic and bring it in this kind of classical way. And we arranged their songs for swing quartets or choir or different kinds of chamber music settings. And towards today, I listen to more brutal music, like, let's say, Behemoth or Rotting Christ, for example, that kind of stuff. I crave this heaviness.
Meshuggah, maybe?
Meshuggah, I haven't went there yet. Nile, definitely. And then there's this whole other part of metal that I absolutely adore, which is stoner / sludge metal. Oh, bands like Sleep, Electric Wizard, that kind of stuff, and you're like really toned down and slow and kind of like a trance and very ritual like the band Sleep has a song called Dope Smoker, which goes for an hour, and it is this constant monotonous like preaching almost. It is completely something else.
So maybe bands like Herve, Neuroses also?
What do you mean?
Earth, there is a band called Earth, or Neuroses.
Oh, okay, I don't know those yet. Yeah, I will have to check them out.
Yes, yeah, same woman. Interesting, but I find this kind of influence logical when listen to your music, because we will speak about this later, but I was find striking the relationship to raw energy in what you are composing. And in classical contemporary composers or classical music, what do you consider to be an influence?
Yes, regarding more academical kind of music, I have also very different kind of influences. One would be what I would call random medieval music, because that kind of influence I already had before I knew about what it is. So this kind of medieval, not necessarily medieval sacred music, but like medieval dances and stuff outside of church, that kind of sound. Definitely Renaissance music. Oh, absolutely. Especially Gesualdo, one of my favorite composers of all times. Yes, Baroque. I like the feeling of Baroque, but I think I enjoy performing Baroque more than listening to it, because it feels like fitness. And then I skip to the 20th century. I don't think it is a big of a surprise to any of my teachers. I don't really enjoy classicism or romanticism, only just very separate pieces, but otherwise if I can avoid listening to it, I do. But regarding 20th century, one of my biggest influences is definitely Gerard Ligeti. The way he works with rhythm, and the way he works with harmony, and the way he works with form, everything, all the aspects that he pays attention to in his music are very inspiring for me. And I also teach in music high school, and I speak about Ligeti in two different occasions, and I absolutely love it. I really enjoy introducing teenagers to the concept of micropolyphony. It is just quite a big experience for me was in year 2019. I got to join our state choir Latvia to go to Rurthienale in near Essen, and we spent 3 weeks there putting together and later performing Ligeti's Requiem. I sang one of the mezzo sopranos, and at first when I got the score, how I would manage this, but I love this kind of challenge, and later in the end of this whole project, I found out that I could sing the score without a tuning fork because of the way he had instrumented the orchestra. It is pure genius, and I rarely say this word in regards of composers. Oh, yes, so Ligeti. Oh. And his opera. And I will stop talking about him because otherwise I will talk for hours. Then other composers that have deeply influenced me are definitely Giacinto Scelsi, obviously. Yes, and the way he works with these tiny, tiny nuances in timbre and also using the usage of microtones, but not because I want to use microtones, but because they are necessary in this piece because of the ideas that he wants, and that is very inspiring to me.
Yeah, one can recognize it's combination of like tribal vocals and massive like drones. Like I thought about, but it reminded me this piece for alto that is called Manto, the third movement, where the altist can sing. No, it's the English word is viola. It's,
yeah. Sorry,
yeah. Alto is it's in French. Yeah, so where the performer can it's not singing, it's something else at the same time and improvise.
I also enjoy that kind of stuff. Recently I wrote a piece for a Petzold double bass recorder with the seven tiny movements, and the performer has to both speak, sing and act out some kind of words and noises.
It seems to me that there are some pieces of music where you push the sound and experimentations very far, like in Pneumonia with some kind of research on raw sound. How do you interact with performers and in terms of having notation on scores also? How can you achieve this and communicate? Because this is not... Well, I suppose in contemporary music there are techniques, notations, and so on and so forth, but still the place of the performer is essential, I guess. So I would be curious to know more about these pieces. It can be true for saxophone or for a choir as well. So.
Yes. I try to connect with them emotionally, in a way, because that is the language that we all understand. Also, each of us speak in a different way regarding emotions, and this kind of way of approach comes from what I learned in high school from Petris Vasks, because he told me, well, you can write what you want, I mean, you do you, but always be friendly with musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Be kind, be there for them, be available. And that, I think, is a wonderful thing to learn, because when I work with a musician, I try to speak their language. Well, not linguistically speaking, like if they speak German, I will not speak German, but to use that kind of way of thinking they do, so I can get the most out of this experience. But also I try to notate down as precisely as possible the exact sound that I expect. So I use both technique, kind of notation, but I also often use but that also comes lately now. I use emotions as a way of expression. But then are some other pieces where I predict that the musician will feel in a kind of way while playing the music that I have noted in this kind of way. I do not notate it because I want it to be pure.
And to let him have his own intuition about the track?
Yes, but this comes more in regards of stress, I think, especially in neurosis, because the score is quite difficult. And I expect them to be kind of neurotical while playing my neurosis.
Okay. Is it true also of sound recording of these kind of pieces? Do you want to work also with sound engineers, or are they quite free to do their part? In this kind of, for this kind of pieces, I feel like it might be very crucial sometimes.
Yes, sir. This is a very nice question, but I have never so far been given the chance to listen to to the process of mastering. So not for now, but I would definitely enjoy being able to also kind of organize that part of my music. So soon it will happen. Yeah, because also I have been a bit disappointed regarding this. There was this piece, Eine Lindele, for orchestra and choir. And I wrote it thinking of the choir as a part of the orchestra, but the mixing turned it out as there's the orchestra and there's the choir, and it was kind of a bit different than I expected.
Okay. So you would like maybe to work more in partnership with sound engineers in the future?
Definitely.
Okay. I find interesting as well the way you seem to counter some stereotypes. There is this track called Silty, it's Warm Feelings, about childhood. And one could expect, for example, to make some kind of metaphor about childhood, some, you know, crystal clear sounds and maybe some toys and glockenspiel or vibraphone, you know, very clear sounds. But this is a track with double bass, and there is also this whistling thing, like a calling that is answering, I feel, to the bass. And I would like to know more about this track, especially because it's this approach, I feel, is very interesting.
There is also a kind of a untold story behind it.
Okay.
I wrote it. It was a commission by a colleague, Eva Epner. I have also collaborated with her quite some, and which is nice, collaborations and commissions. But at around the same time, my cat disappeared, and I was missing him a lot. Now I have let him go, but he went missing at that time. And the whistling part is how we called him. He went outside to do whatever cat businesses he did, and when we wanted him to come home, we whistled, and he always came home, except for when he didn't. And so I kind of wanted to incorporate also the feeling of him being a child inside the music. And I also feel like extremely warm feelings towards all animals, really. And so the piece got like more dimensions out of it. It was not just childhood, it was also different kind of childhood, being a child, experiencing a being that is a child. Yeah.
Thank you.
also the stereotypical thing that you mentioned with the glockenspiels and whatnot, it is just a one tiny part of childhood, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of childhood is like super happy and nice and calm. Most people experience a lot of different kinds of emotions and happenings during their childhood. So I didn't think it would be fair to write just about that side.
I feel also that there is in your music, maybe rarely there are no big breaks or interruption. You build the energy and but you still keep some flow inside of it. Is it a fair comment, or am I completely wrong about it?
No, you are absolutely right.
Yeah.
I crave continuity with sound.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I would say I am terrible at beginning and finishing pieces form-wise, because I often want this kind of nowadays almost clicheing zooming in and zooming out. When I was a teenager, I had this idea that music is like a constant thing in the world, and composers or musicians or people in general who are more sensitive to sound can just tune into that dimension and grab some parts of it and pull it in this dimension. And I kind of like that idea. I don't believe it fully now, but I like to think about this often.
There is this piece called where there are these loops that get longer, more complex, they merge, interact, some crossover. I really love this piece of music. It's have you been listening to electro music as well? Because do you consider that you've been influenced by loops in a sense?
Regarding loops, another big influence for me has been Fausto Romitelli. His works, the way he uses instruments to get these super complex timbres and happenings in music, it is like a language happening in real time. The first time I heard his music was in the academy, in Masters. My professor Jans Petruszkiewicz, it was in the Bachelor's, so yes, in the Bachelor's, he exposed me to Fausto Romitelli's piece Professor Bad Trip, and it blew my mind. I had never thought something like that could exist, but when I heard it, it made sense. It was awesome, truly, in the true translation of this word. And yes, therefore I have analyzed his music and fallen in love with looping. Yeah, and I have used loops a lot, especially in Sh, and also in Maza Serena, the Skukajanje Meditacijas for Anna Gagan and strings, tons of loops. I like the idea of repeating and changing a bit, kind of like dancing.
Thank you.
So answer the next question, that are you tempted, or do you have a desire maybe to compose with some external elements like field recordings or electronics, and being a performer yourself? Because I feel that you are just next to this kind of music, contemporary music called experimental, like concrete music or something. You are writing a piece for Scanius Mesh,
I think? Yeah.
So sounds absolutely logical also.
Yes and no. I see myself as a technically very naive person. Therefore, yes, I studied electronical music in the academy, of course, and I know some of the basics, but I have not explored it for years. And I really, really am interested in finding ways how to make sounds that sound like electronical sounds, but they are made acoustically.
I understand.
Yeah, I really enjoy that kind of thing. And for Scanimesh, I'm not sure if I can say, if I am allowed to say what I am composing, but it will be some that kind of music that I don't think is very often heard in Scanimesh. Mm. Yeah.
I can release it after Scanimesh,
yes,
or
yes.
Just okay, before.
Yes. So, Gunta Gelgote, a coloratura soprano, and Lelda Tirele piano, but not as solo with accompanist, but a chamber ensemble, approximately 20 minutes, and the theme is going to be something around personal freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But further, I really don't know. I have one meeting left and then I'll start.
It's quite extreme in the process, if I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. When you compose, the thing is about knowing if the question is addressed the right way, but what comes first to your mind? Is it the musical structure as a whole, or you search sound, or sound comes first to your mind?
Well, it differs from time to time, but most times I would say first comes sound, but it comes in my imagination. And there I perceive sound not as a pitch or a rhythm. I don't even perceive sound as sound in my mind. I think I perceive it more as a three-dimensional space that is continuously morphing. This is very weird in a way, but that is how I relate to sound a lot, as space and as movement in space, or space moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that is definitely first, and then I try to understand the necessary ingredients. Here I have to mention I adore cooking, really, and I never follow recipes. So I choose ingredients that I would like to use in my cooking, and then I improvise. And that is how I find also the ingredients for my music. I think what kind of harmonical space would be most appropriate for this kind of musical feeling, and what kind of timbres do I want to use, and what kind of not like a fully developed form, but what kind of formal structures do I want to use in my piece? So that kind of way.
And if you make a pie, what would be the apparatus to link all the ingredients?
Musically speaking, what would be the main ingredient? Dynamics. The main sauce, or the matter that keeps it fit. Yeah, dynamics, the dynamical dramaturgy. Also instrumentation, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the background workers. Because they're never in front for me, but they're the structure that hold it. Like, yes, we will support everything.
But is it... I suppose it's also crucial to take into account the kind of formation, if string quartet or solo piano or orchestra are not the same thing. So is this kind of limitation helpful for you?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I love working with limitations. And when I am given absolute freedom, I get extremely anxious. Also regarding this Skanyemesh, I was so lost in my head. And somehow all different kind of situations happened, and then this made the most sense. But oh, I was so lost with this project. very, very stressful.
Yeah, because this is how the team of Skanyemesh are made of people really absolutely welcoming and nice, and
yes,
who have a very pure idea of freedom, Rihards and Viestad. So.
Yes. Tavos emocijos vai sajūtos, nav arguments. Jo tas, ko tu dod, nav saskaitams, tas nav nekas. Kad tas ievietes sapratīs, kad dzīve kaldanojas, and regarding this, I think I would really enjoy being able to write absolutely what I want if I had the time and resources for it. Because my main everyday job is I work in a music high school.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really enjoy my job. I have 6 different kinds of music theory subjects, and I truly enjoy teaching them. I enjoy interacting with the teenagers and talking about musical things that I like. It's just, they pay me for talking about stuff I enjoy, so that is amazing. But otherwise, it takes up a lot of time. So I can't concentrate on composing, and the energy that I need to cultivate in myself for teaching and for composing, they're completely different kind of energies. And when I am in my composing state, I am the worst person. my husband is also a composer, and we are, in this regard, we are the same. If we compose at the same time, nothing gets done in the house. Clothes are dirty, dishes are dirty, fridge is empty, cat is disappointed because nobody pays attention to him. so that happens. I can't divide my attention with teaching and composing, so that is quite kind of hard.
So if I understand, one of the reasons you don't want to become a performer for, let's say, something that is quite now usual with a laptop, you are in fear of getting lost inside all this technology also?
Yeah. In a way, but also this electronical sound does not interest me that much as real raw acoustic sound.
You said it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I like the, I can't say unpredictability, because electronics can also be unpredictable, but I think that for acoustic instruments, and especially voice, unpredictability is so much wider.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends so much more on the individual person performing it, and that is more preferable than electronics.
How much do you connect your creations to your Latvian identity?
What even is a Latvian identity nowadays?
So, yeah, but when I started this series of interviews, I had also in mind to enable Latvian diaspora abroad in the United States, Australia, maybe to reconnect to something that, not the lost, but they want to find, and if you listen to someone like Peter Izvesky, you can have an idea, a certain idea of what it is to be Latvian, linked to history, linked to a lot of things. So we understood that, yeah, a part of your culture is linked to some references that are coming abroad, thanks to the end of USSR. You were born, I think, after the end of USSR.
In a free country, yeah.
So it changes a lot of things, but still, Do you feel like a part of a tradition or in continuity with something?
In a way, because as I mentioned before, folk music. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy the sound of Latvian folk music and the way it feels, the way it's not quadratic. It's often not quadratic and it's often not a major or a minor. It doesn't have that many functions as, for example, German folk music. And yeah, it's more raw in that sense. And I would say pretty much all of the Baltic traditional music is very, very close for me. What I would like to point out is Lithuanian sutartines, for example. Oh, amazing. And amazing to sing them as well. So many seconds, and they are so organic. And for Latvian folk music, it is so wide-ranged. There's really fragile, like a spider web, that fragile kind of feelings in music, and there are also like super powerful feelings. I find it super amazing how in Kurzeme there are these sweet sievas and they sweet ladies, and the way they sing, there's this special type of folk singing theme wise called Apdziedāšanās dziesmas. And the idea is that they it's kind of like roasting. Mm-hmm. Kind of like roasting, so you sing provocative texts about a person in the room. it is so joyful in the sense that they're like celebrating life through that, and that kind of energy is very, very inspiring for me. And also I recently thought that there's this a group called Tautumeitas. They're like super Latvian, and the way they express themselves is so, it feels like it comes from the core of being a woman in Latvia. And I thought that if they had existed when I was a teenager, well, they were teenagers as well, so it wouldn't have happened. But then I would be their number one fan. Now I'm a bit more outside of that kind of feeling, but yeah, that kind of setting is very, it feels familiar.
It seems also that from time to time you like to point the what is linked to female identity, like the siren songs, or how the,
yes,
or this trance, this thing about the bees,
yeah, trance, yeah.
So I'm curious also about this. How much does it matter for you?
Yes, well, the more towards today, the more it matters. And I think for pretty much every woman out there thinking about what being a woman is should be essential, especially in the background of what is happening in the United States. It is unspeakable in a way, like how, and the absolute horrors in Ukraine because of Russia, and I cannot even put it into words. I mean, one thing is what is happening with people in general in today's society, but another aspect is what is happening specifically to women. Yes, here in Latvia, we do not experience that kind of difference between gender roles and stuff, but it is still present, and it is a very hot topic for me.
My last question will be, well, you spoke about how you've been encouraged by your mom and your parents to create music, but as far as you can remember, what are the first memories in your childhood linked to sound or music?
One of the earliest memories regarding sound specifically is when I had to start the first grade. I had to go through medical checkups so they could know what kind of health I am in. And there is also the testing of hearing. And how it went is I have headphones on and I have to press a button every time I hear a sound. Pretty simple. So sound was kind of like a sine wave, mm-hmm. kind of a bit more complex, but generally. And I'm listening, okay, I hear it, button. Ooh, interesting sound. Why is it getting louder? Oh, whoa. Oh, it's shit, button. Okay. So that kind of thing happened. And I was so ashamed to show this paper to my mother because they wrote that I have troubles with hearing things. When in reality, I had troubles with pulling my attention away from hearing things.
Okay, so you were really daydreaming this... okay. Very nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For being with us. If you enjoy watching this program, please drop a like, subscribe, share on social network. It's the best way to help the growth of this channel. And we will see you there very soon.